Okay, so if you don't, listen, if you don't have one of these cards, we passed them out on the last time that we did the armor of God. If you don't have these, ushers, make sure you have these on the way out. Make sure they have these on the way out. Make sure you have a lot of them. And just ask the ushers. The ushers are the fine-looking gentlemen wearing red and vests. They got vests, and then they say hope, amen? But listen, some of these men are married, so I'm saying some of these men are already taken. Some of these men aren't taken, so you know what? I'm just saying, man. All right, but make sure you grab one of these and make sure you start using it. I love Hazel's testimony. You know what? In one week, that's what the Holy Spirit quickened me. You're doing all this preaching, and then you're going to get done. And no, let's have application for the preaching. Amen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay. All right, so we'll have these for you. And then how many know? You're like, Pastor, what about praise and worship? It's time for praise and worship, because and then you do praise and worship, right? Well, say not today. Somebody, we're not going to do praise and worship. No, we're going to do praise and worship. We're just going to reverse the order. Somebody say reverse the order.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't like when you reverse the order. But I didn't ask you. Amen. What did when I said this to the ushers? What did Peter say? Peter, do you remember what you said? I don't know. It was funny. Amen. I think he said, I don't know what he said, but it was funny. Anyway, here's what did he say? He said, who asked you? Amen. So, but here's the thing. Here's what you need to understand. Pastor George, I do this on purpose. And let me tell you why. Because we need to learn to be led of the Spirit. See, sometimes we get into a form of what we're used to doing, and then we get all focused on the form. And the Bible teaches us that according to the New Testament, we need to be led of the Spirit. Amen? So this morning I sense that number one, we need to reverse the order just because the Spirit said reverse the order. But number two, to also teach people. You know, a couple times I'll say, I won't say this today, but a couple times I'll just split the church right down the middle. I'll say, everybody on this side, get up and go to this side. And everybody on this side, I won't do this today. Everybody on this side, get up and go to that side. Why do you do that? Because, you know what? This is a training center. Look at your neighbor, say, this is a training center. We're coaching, teaching, training. We're doing something. We're not just having church. We're connecting people with God. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we've got to, you know what? How many recognize you like to do what you like to do, and sometimes you can get stuck in the mud. Amen. And we're not doing things to change just to change, but how many came to church today? How many came to change today? I said, how many come to church today? No, how many came to change today? You know what? We renew. How do we walk in victory in Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of the mind. We have to, and I have to help you. Somebody's sitting over, yeah, but it's weird sitting over here. Well, praise God. Blessed are the flexible. Amen? And I'm trying to teach you something. How many know when you learn something, sometimes when you do it the first time, it feels uncomfortable. And it feels uncomfortable. But we saw it in the word last week that the road, the narrow road is, help me out, it starts with a D. What is it?
Difficult.
Everybody say difficult.
Difficult.
Well, it's not difficult to your spirit. Your spirit loves, you know what, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, your Holy Spirit's like, yeah, let's do it. What part is it difficult for you? Your flesh. Your flesh. Remember Paul said it. He said, I beat my flesh. Sometimes you got to beat your flesh a little bit. Stop letting your flesh tell you to do it. How many has your flesh got you into some trouble before in your life? Raise your hand if your flesh got you in some trouble. If your hand's not up, you're lying. Okay. And that's not good. Don't lie in church. Amen. Don't lie outside of church, but don't lie in church. Amen. How many of your flesh ever got you in trouble? Amen. So we're going to change some things up today. We're going to do worship after. How many know? You say, but pastor, you know that worship sets your heart up for the word. How many know that's true? How many know that's true? How many know this? That the word sets up your heart for worship. Your word sets up the heart for worship. Amen. So, you know what? Now, and I'm going to say this in advance because I want to get, Pastor, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to clap more. You're trying to get me to dance more. You're trying to get me, yep, boop, boop, boop. Full disclosure, here's what I want you to do. If you're the kind, and why do we do that? Because we're just creatures of habit. You know what? And we have figured out in our crazy minds. Somebody say our mind can be crazy sometimes. We figured out that those kind of people, those Pentecostals, they worship this way. But we're not Pentecostals. We worship this way. Well, I'm just saying it's not a Pentecostal thing. It's a Bible thing. Amen? And I'll prove it to you. The Bible, the biggest book of the Bible, 150 chapters, you know what, is Psalms. And in Psalms, he's talking all the time about this exuberant worship to God. You say, yeah, but Paul said, let everything be done in decency and order in the New Testament. Well, here, I agree. Let everything be done in decency and order. You know what I mean? So follow the worship team. How many believe the worship team is led by the Spirit? And they're not perfect. They can miss it. How many believe your pastor is led by the Spirit? And I'm not perfect. We can miss it. But here's what I see in the Word of God. There is times of quiet intimacy where we need to get quiet before the Lord and then allow the Lord to speak to us. Amen? Then there's other times that... where, you know, the Bible says in Psalms, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord. Come on. Do you know this? You want me to sing it to you? Okay. You want me to sing it to you? Remember, Danny, we learned this song a long time ago, right? Right? Okay. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord with voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord with voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. Shout to the Lord with voice of triumph. Praise Him, praise Him. Shout to the Lord with voice of praise. Oh, you missed the last part. I know Danny didn't miss the last part, though. But y'all missed the last part. Shout to the Lord with a voice of praise. Okay. Can you sing it with me now? So, Pastor, where do you get that? I get that out of the Psalms. Psalm says, clap to the Lord, all ye people. You know what all ye people means? This is deep. Are you ready? You know what that means? It means all y'all people. Amen? Amen? Clap to the hands. Clap to the Lord. God is speaking to you today. You said, but Pastor, you don't get it, dude. That's not how I roll. Okay. Christianity 101. Can I teach you Christianity 101? You are not in charge of yourself. So, oh, Pastor, you want to be Christian? How many want to be Christian? How many want to be Christian? Okay. So I don't know, raise my hand because I'm already Christian. Well, if you're already Christian, you want to be Christian, right? How many want to be Christian? Okay. You get Jesus' life. How's that for a deal? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you accepted Jesus in your heart, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many of that's a good day? How many that's a great day? Amen? Right. And so you got his life. Huh. Sometimes we forget the second part. And he gets your life. According to the New Testament, the Bible says, your life doesn't belong to you. Amen? Case in point, Tamara's picking weeds. It's getting hot. I ain't doing this no more. I'm not doing this no more. God speaks to her and says, who asked you? Who's the Lord of your life? Is God Lord? So here's what I'm saying. That's what I preached last week. But here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking, when we go into praise and worship, I'm asking you to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm asking you to push yourself a little farther. Here, do me a favor. If I'm not doing it, don't do it. Okay? Why? Because Paul said, let everything be done in decency and order. You ever been in a church and somebody gets like flamboyant above what the worship team is doing? And you're like, huh, that's something's out of order there. Something is out of order there. Amen. But let me tell you what I've seen more the case. Pastor George, let me tell you why I see way more. Pastor Lady, let me tell you what I see way more the case. Is that the pastor and the worship team are exuberant in worship. And there's some cool cat over here going like, and I'm not doing. Right? So, push yourself. Somebody say push yourself. Okay? And what I'm asking you to do is get outside of your comfort zone today in praise and worship. You know what? And let's dance like David danced. Let's clap like David clapped. You say, well, yeah, how do we even know who clapped? I'll tell you how David clapped. I don't know how he clapped, but I know how he clapped. He clapped with a passion for God. We're going to teach this. You ready to learn? Look at your neighbor. Today, we're going to learn. And what are we learning? We're learning how to prepare ourselves for the second coming of the Lord. How many believe the second coming of the Lord is going to be soon? How many believe that? Here's what I can tell you factually. Today, we're one day closer than we were yesterday. One day closer. And if you look at the signs, and the signs are the signs are for us to see and be prepared. See, we should be prepared for the coming of the Lord. How many know this is true? We should be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And so we're talking about how do we get prepared for the coming of the Lord. Well, last week we started talking about passion, and I want to continue to talk about passion. How many know God is looking for us to be passionate to Him? Freely you have received, He says, freely give. He's saying, I want you to give to me like I give to you. And remember last week I said, well, you say, well, I can't do that. Well, that's weird because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul says, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. There were 12 apostles who gave their life for Jesus Christ. Amen. And John was boiled in order, in oil, in order, in oil, oil, right? Right? Peter was hung upside down because he said, I can't even, I'm not worthy to be died like Christ died. This is crazy. Radical passion for God. Amen. Amen. There's people in Africa who will walk miles to come sit on a bench. Amen. With no air conditioning. Amen. 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 Oh, this feels nice. Amen. This is nice. This feels nice. Man, we got some cush in these seats, don't we? We got some cush for our tush, don't we? Right? Right? And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens in our American churches is sometimes, you know what, we start to have a consumerism of our church. Oh, you can say amen to that. I didn't like that. I didn't like how he did that. Whoa, Jackson. How many know attitude determines our altitude? How many know we need to leave our bad attitudes at home? Come on, how many know we need to leave our bad attitudes at home? And then we need to get home and sweep up a little bit. How many know sometimes we can sweep, the house can be clean, but it's not clean. Because there's some bad attitudes. Okay? But I'm just teaching you, God is going to do something in our lives. And I'm asking you to be... Here's what I want to show you in the Word of God today. And it won't take a long time to do it. But I want to show you over and over and over and over and over and over in the Word of God how many times God is saying, I want everything. I will not tolerate. If you're taking notes... Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're taking notes. Why? Because you remember more of what you write down than what you just hear. Amen. So if you don't have a notepad today, there's this great store. Okay, it's called the 99-cent store. Okay, did you hear? Now it's called the $1.50 store. Right? Did you hear this? What's up with that? You know what I mean? I just spent a whole 50 more cents. Okay, go to the $1.50 store and buy a notepad, you know what? And then buy a pen. It'll cost you a whole, $3. And come in ready to have a bigger input. See, if you learn something but you don't remember it enough to take it home, how many know that's not what you want? Okay. So we're look at your neighbor, say, this is a training center. Get your pen out. All right. The name of my sermon is this. This is such a great title. Listen to this. First place or nothing. That's what he wants. He wants first place or nothing. Praise God. Amen. Somebody say first place or nothing. Come on, somebody say first place or nothing. God doesn't want second. God doesn't want third. God doesn't want fourth. God doesn't want to be in your top five. God wants to be first place. And I'm going to show it to you in the Word over and over again. He's like, first place or nothing. We need to teach this. First place or nothing. Romans, I have it on the screen for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Just follow this on the screen because it's in NIV, but I like the wording here. He says, never be lacking in zeal. Never be lacking in zeal. Never, ever be lacking in zeal. Amen. But keep your spiritual fervor. Keep it. Make a decision. How many married? Amen. How many married? Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. Raise your hand if, and this is what has happened to Tamara and I. Every morning I wake up and I'm like, oh, my honey, my bunny, my love of my life. And then I start singing to her. You light up my life. Then I go right into this, you are the apple. Pastor George, I sing this song to her. You are the apple of my eye. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why, yeah, I get another chance. Amen. Amen. Oh man. Okay. I sing all kind of great songs to her. Amen. And every day, every morning before, you know, I just start singing to her. Okay. Every morning I sing that to her. Okay. And I'm like, Pastor, your nose is growing a little bit right now. Your nose is growing a little bit right now. Okay. And it is because I don't. I'm going to show you a clip in a minute. If you're watching online, you got to take a potty break, go and get some coffee for just 3 minutes. But there was a scene, I'm going to show you one scene, but there was another scene in Jerry Maguire. And I'm not showing you this scene because I'm going to show you another scene. But in this scene, they're in a restaurant. And what was the black athlete's? Do you remember his name? What? What? I don't want to know his acting name. I want to know his. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. This guy is in love with his wife. She's pregnant, and she's just like, oh, baby, how those nachos, hey, baby. He's just like, man, loving his wife and passion for his wife. And then Jerry Maguire feels like, something's wrong here. You know what? And then he goes like this to his wife. He's like, oh, it's so striking. We need to be passionate, man. We need to be passionate for our wives. Amen? We need to be passionate for our wives. But this is for everybody. But we need to be passionate for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In this scene, it's going to set up everything I talk about today. But I want you to watch this scene, because in this scene, Jerry Maguire, he marries this lady. I don't know her name. I don't know her real name, and I don't know her acting name, okay? So she's not going to tolerate her husband loving her son and liking her. She's not going to tolerate it. Let me tell you this. In the Word, there is no second place. And God is coming back for a church that is passionate for Him. Today is the day that you take off your cool cat attitude and start to, whatever it is, whether it's praise and worship, knock off the cool catness. Yeah, but Pastor, this is what I learned. I know, but today is a new day. Amen? Today's a new day. God is pushing you outside of your box. Yeah, but let everything be done in decency and order. It doesn't mean that we're quiet all the time. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. That's in the Word. Okay? That's totally appropriate. It's totally appropriate. So here's the heart of God. He sets up in the garden for you to eat, for Adam and Eve to eat any tree they want except one. And He's just doing that because He wants a relationship. He doesn't want robots. But Adam and Eve, that's not enough. And they go and they eat that fruit. Jesus told them, in that day that you eat, you're going to die. You say, yeah, but they didn't die that day. Oh, they did die that day. It's a Greek, it's a Hebrew word. And He says, that day, moot. It's dying, you're going to die. Die. And that day they died. They separated themselves from God, and there was a spiritual death. And later on, they died physically. Exactly what the Hebrew says. Die. And that's what happened. And God is in heaven, and now He's already planned, knowing what they were going to do, He's already planned a way out. He's already planned a way that you and I can be restored. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And He, because we don't understand this. We don't understand this. You know, when I was a kid, I loved God. I mean, I remember, you know what, being baptized and just bawling like a baby because I just was so in love with God. But let me tell you the truth. Without the blood of Jesus, there's no covering of sin. And so when Jesus, when I was a kid, the scripture that used to bug me was when Jesus was on the cross and He said, Father, why do you forsake me? And that scripture bugged me because I knew how much love the Father had for the Son. And I couldn't theologically figure out, why is He saying that? Why is God forsaking Jesus Christ? Look at your neighbor and say, your why. And look at yourself and say, I'm why. That's why. He who knew no sin had to become sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so imagine this, and I think about it, Jesus is in the garden, and He's over and over and over again, and it's not that He's not going to do God's will, He just wants to know, God, is there some other way of doing this? And ultimately, Jesus is the one that looks at the apostles and say, come on, I got the word, I know what the answer is. The answer is, no, there's no other way, it's only me. And He gets them all, well, you know, wakes them up, come on guys, let's go, it's time for me to do this. Remember that scripture, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I would be, you would be also. And God just won't take our mediocrity. Now, in Christianity in 2021, in America, we have not taught people properly the Word of God. And so we have just taught, yeah, you know what? Just give God whatever. You know what? Don't make it no difference. There's commandments in the Word of God. These commandments are God commanding you and I to do stuff. Why? Because we don't belong to ourselves. You say, but Pastor, you're teaching a gospel of works. No, I'm not. Read John. John says, if you really love me, you will obey me. See, who do you think God is talking to when Jesus says prophetically, you know, in that day, I will say to these people are saying, yeah, but we did this and we did that. We did all these things for you. No, no, we're in the wrong group. You have us in the sheep, but we're not supposed to be in the sheep. We're in the goat. You know, you have us in the goats. We're supposed to be in the sheep. Jesus, you got it wrong. Can I tell you what? Jesus didn't get it wrong. Jesus just won't take your second or your third or your fourth. He just won't take it. And here's the thing. That's what the Bible says. Say, but Pastor, if you preach that, you're not going to have a big church. I'm not looking to have a big church. I'm looking to grow up big people. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, prophetically, we know because God has spoken to us over and over again. You know what? We're going to have hundreds and we're going to have what? We're going to have hundreds and we're going to have what? And they're going to come from the what? From the north, from the south, from the what? East, from the west. Amen. How many came from the north? Raise your hand if you came from the north. Okay. Okay. How many came from the south? Raise your hand. Came from the south. How many came from the east? Raise your hand if you came from. How many came from the west? Okay. Raise your hand if you have no idea where you came from. Tamara, raise up your hand. Okay. Okay. So some of you don't know, but you came. Amen. And there's others going to come. Why? Because here's what God has shown us, that people are tired. People are getting tired. People are going to be desperate for the things of God. They're looking for a training center. They're looking for pastors who will tell them the uncompromised word of God. And I'm telling you today, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm telling you today, God doesn't want. He will say no, just like she said. I won't allow you to give me that. He says, what do you want me to do? You know, you want my soul? And I love what she says. She says, yes, I deserve it. Why not? I deserve it. And that's what God says. That's what he says in his word. I'm going to show it to you today. It won't take me long. I'm going to show it to you over and over and over again where God says, no, I deserve it. If you don't give me that, then guess what? Then you don't deserve me. Then you don't deserve me. And we haven't taught that. We haven't taught that in our churches. We've taught, well, you know what? Just, you know, true story. Just listening to a broadcast and they're taking the offering. Amen. How many know where your treasures are? Your heart is also. How many know people get all upset when you say, no, bring the tithe and the offering into the storehouse. People are, oh, the pastor, don't start talking about my money because I'm going to do whatever I want with my money. You can do whatever you want with your money. Amen? But 10% don't even belong to you, according to the word. Oh, man, I didn't get... Can I get some amens on this? Amen? Pastor, I'm... You know what Jesus said? Jesus said that this will mess up your theology. This is what Jesus said. Read it. He said it over and over and over and over and over. We even know it. We know it by heart. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. Well, what do you do theologically? What do you do theologically if you're not forgiven? Where do you think you're going to live in eternity if you're not forgiven? Thank you for your honor. What else do you do theologically? What else do you do with that? Right? Amen. Here, we know it. Our Father out in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, come on, preach it. What? Yeah. Who trespass against us? As we. Somebody say as we. Somebody say as we. Somebody say it three times. As we, as we, as we. Wow. Is that a new language? No. As we, it means there's this correlation with your willingness to forgive and others to be, you know what, God to forgive you. And Jesus said it. Don't argue with me. You wanna live in some crazy theology? Then that's up to you. But the reality is, God will not take second place. All right, you ready to learn this? Okay, Tamara, look at your watch. I can only be 20 minutes because we are reversing the order today. Okay? Who's got a watch? 20 minutes. Give me 20 minutes. All right, look at, let's go to Revelation. We'll jump through this quickly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know your what? I know your what? Another version says, I know your works. Remember he said, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah, but I went to church. I know, but I saw what you did at home. Amen? Yeah, but I worshiped on Sunday. I know, but then you wouldn't worship me any other days of the week. Amen? I know your what? I know your works. I know your works. That you are neither hot nor cold. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Neither hot nor cold. See? He will not tolerate second. He doesn't want you lukewarm. He wants you hot. Look at your neighbor and say, he wants you hot. He wants you hot. I see a church that people are hot before they come. They come into, it's throughout the Bible. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his your heart and his courts with praise. When you come into the gates, there ought to be a thanksgiving. When you come into the courts, there ought to be a praise. You ought to be prepared. And then, you know what, Tyler and Angel and Pastor Isaac and Pastor Joel, they start to praise. And as soon as they start to praise, there's an explosion. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you're hot and we just light the dynamite and it goes boom. Versus, you know what? This person's hot. This person's cold. This person's lukewarm. This person's lukewarm. I don't like that song. You know what? You're playing it too fast. You played that last week. We just sang that song. Oh, shut up. Amen? You know, like my Spanish teacher taught me, you know what, at Pioneer High School, you know, that mighty academic place, right? Silencio, por favor. Shut up. Shut up with your bad attitude. Amen? Just get your groove on. Amen? And get your groove on before you come to church. Get your groove on before you come to church. Get your groove on before you come to church. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter the courts with praise. You're not even in church yet. You're just out in the parking lot. Amen? How many know Laura entered the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise? Amen. Yeah, but I mean, that Laura, she's on me. She's like Candace. They're all like, yeah. Amen? Well, I'm not like Laura. Ask Tamara. Tamara, am I like Laura at home? I'm not like Laura. Cody, I'll tell you. Cody said the other day, man, Pastor will get in a car, and he just won't talk the whole ride. Why? Don't you like Cody? No, I like Cody. I just don't got nothing to say. I'm just a quiet person. Amen? But we're going to praise God today. And I'm not going to be quiet then. Amen. Why? Because God has commanded me. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with the voice of praise. God has commanded me to do that. God has commanded me to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and his courts with praise. He deserves our praise today. He deserves our honor today. I don't care about how you acted in the past. I don't care about where you went to church. I don't care about your personality type. Who cares? Thank you, great theologian Peter. Who asked you? Who asked you? Amen. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Notice what he wants. Why in the world would God wish that somebody's cold? Here's why. You know what? One time we had the... we had the TCMI choir come. And one thing I noticed, they said this over and over and over again. These are people who are coming out and come out of addictions. And they said this over and over again. They said, when I hit my rock bottom. That's why he don't want people cold. What he's saying is at some point in time, you can be so cold that you recognize what Satan is really doing in your life. I wish that you were hot. Here's why. Because cold people get hot. But lukewarm people are like, yeah, I'm good. You know what? My pastor don't even know tithe. You know what? My $20 is my tithe. Yeah, but you make $500 a week. I know, but I just give $20. I just call it my tithe. Oh, my goodness. Like God don't, like God doesn't know math, right? It's like God don't know math. It's like God don't know math. Oh, he knows. He knows. He knows what's really going on in your heart. He really knows goes the things that you're keeping, your attitudes and your gossip and all this stuff. No. God wants you. Here's your one. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians, but that which is edifying for the ear. Our mom used to teach Ephesians in a different way. She said it like this. If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. Amen. Some of you this next week, you know what? You need to just make a commitment that if you can't say something nice, you're not going to say nothing at all. Amen. Some of you might trip out how quiet you are this week. Amen. Amen. James, here's what James says. James says, you know what? From our mouth shouldn't come blessings and cursings. What? Only blessings. Amen? Oh, I bless you. I bless you. I blessed Brian this morning. I said, Brian, you have fine taste in your wardrobe today. Amen? Amen? See, you can say something nice about everybody if you want to. If you think that way. Amen? Are you learning something today? Look and say, see, God, no, watch the next verse. 16. Look at this. So then, everybody say, so then. Here's what I want to take. He won't tolerate second place. He won't tolerate, you know what, lukewarm. He won't tolerate it. And we got to figure it out now. Figure it out today. There needs to be, I almost played you. I didn't play you this clip, but I almost did. How many watch Mary Poppins? Mary Poppins. Remember at the beginning, you know what? Dick Van Dyke, he's like, oh, there's something in the air. Do you remember this? He said, the wind's blowing at the east. Do you remember this? About a year ago, I stood up on that flat roof and I preached. And I knew there was something in the air. I knew there was something going on. Something's going on. Why are you preaching this? Here's what I'm saying. Because let me tell you, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. And there will be some people that are going to be prepared. And there are going to be some people that aren't going to be prepared. And God is telling us prophetically in his word, I will not tolerate lukewarm. Ooh, let's sing it together. I will not tolerate Luke warm. Come on, wrap it with me. I will not tolerate lukewarm. He's telling you this. He's telling you, I will not. And we have learned from the world that God is going to take whatever we give him, and he should be happy with what we give him. And I'm here to declare the word of God to you. I'm here. I'm a proclaimer of the gospel. I have the shoes of the gospel of peace. And it's peace that you would understand right now before it happens that he will. I got the belt of truth on. Here's the truth. He will not tolerate lukewarm. So then means. So then you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And speaking of this, who wants to be lukewarm anyway? Amen? How many want to be hot for God? Then here, how many want to be hot for God? Raise your hand if you want to be hot for God. Then here's what I want to say. You've got to make a decision that he's going to tell you what to do. You're going to stop telling him what to do. Amen. I'm going to be hot for God. 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 I'm going to be hot. I'm going to be hot for God. I'm going to be hot for God. I am going to be. I don't care about my neighbors. I don't care about my friends. I can't even speak for my family, but I'm going to be hot for God. I'm going to anoint my family. Some of you praying for your family, praying for your family, praying for your family. You know what? And what you need to do is be an example for your family. Amen. Get hot for God. It'll start to rub off of them. That's what anointing means. Are you learning something? Amen. Amen. Daniel is getting hot for God. And I like talking to him because it rubs off on me. Amen. Amen. Daniel, I like talking to you. You rub off on me, amen? Yeah. Amen. I learned something today. Yeah. I'm just showing you the word of God. Watch how many times. I won't be take long. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look what he says in chapter 2. Quickly, we'll start with verse 1. An angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says to he who holds 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. Next verse. I know your works. Watch what these people do. These people got it going on. No, they don't. Why? Because they don't have it right. They're doing stuff. But God doesn't want second place. Watch. I know your works, your labor, your patience. Somebody say they're doing some things right, right? And you cannot bear those who are you cannot bear those who are evil. They have a proper perspective that evil is not good. Amen. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many know just because you say something, how do they test them? According to their fruit. Amen. You say, yo, we're not supposed to judge. No, the Bible doesn't say you're not supposed to judge. The Bible says, judge yourself first. The Bible says, we're not supposed to judge them. Read your Bible. It says, we're not supposed to judge them. There's supposed to be one judge, and that's God. And so if he says that this is wrong, that's wrong. Amen. We're not to judge. Now I know what God said, but I do it this way. Well, you are making yourself Lord. They don't do that. You have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you have preserved and have patience. Oh, these guys, they got it going on. No, they don't. No, they have some things going on. God doesn't want you. God wants every aspect of your life. Amen. And have labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. Wow, they got it going on. But watch this. Next verse. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Somebody say, God will not take second place. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You are the apple of my eye. Right? It needs to be a passion. man, I used to treat my wife so good. You know what I mean? How many remember opening the door for your wife? So get in there. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, you're running across. Let me open the door for you. Now you're like eating a hot dog. You're like, man, what's taking you so long? What's taking her so long? Amen? That's not right to do for your wife, and it's not right to do for God. Amen? And and it's not right to be, you know what? It's not right to act like that towards your husband. Amen? You know, you get all upset if your husband French kisses you. You know, French kiss. I don't want a French kiss. You used to like a French kiss. Amen? Amen? Amen. Can you say amen to this? What'd you learn today? Pastor said I need to French kiss my husband. Amen? Man, I like that church. I like that church. Amen? I said married people. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I said married people. Okay. But what I'm saying is, no. Go up and, man, smack him one. Amen? Not like that. No, not like that. No, give him a, you know what? Come on. And that's what's happening here. They used to be totally in love with God. Now they're doing all this work, but they're not passionate for God. God, say, God doesn't want second place. How much time I got left? 5 minutes. Somebody say, Pastor is a fast preacher. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Listen, this is throughout your Bible. He does that. He will not tolerate your casualness towards him in any way in your life. In any way in your life. In any way in your life. Yeah, but Pastor, I just date whoever. Why are you dating him? Oh, because he's fine. He's fine. She's fine. Well, I don't care how fine they are. Amen? Luke chapter 9. Listen, let me address that. You're just so focused on the outward. You need to marry somebody who's fine on the outside and fine on the inside. Amen. 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 And if they're not fine on the inside, you need to ignore the fine on the outside. Come on, singles, you can say amen to this. Have you found your place in Luke yet? Luke chapter 9. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, what did they do? They what? Come on, look, it's the cheat sheet right there. What did they do? Come on, this is a learning center. What did they do? They said. You know what? Oh, they said this. Okay, great. But God is not looking so much at what you say. He's looking at how you act. We went over that last week. And it happened. But here we see it again. They said, look what it said. Someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I'll follow you wherever I go. Look how Jesus responds. Jesus is like, oh, I'm so happy. You know what Jesus does? Jesus starts to say, hey. See, we don't do this in the church. We're like, you know what? We're like, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, nobody will even know what you're doing. Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable? Do we need to turn the heaters on? Should I turn the heaters on? Let's make sure. Oh, let's make sure everything's okay. Because we don't want to lose anybody. We don't want to lose. We want to make sure. Oh, were the hot dogs good? You know, Friday? You know what? Were they too hot? Were they too cold? Amen. One time I got a hot dog and it was like it was one of these spicy hot dogs. You know what? I was like, they were out of the regular hot dogs. I got to say, oh, this will be okay. That's all they had. Oh man, it was too spicy. Amen. See, some of us are so, we've gotten this crazy attitude about church and about God. And I want you to notice what Jesus does. Jesus says, as it happened on the journey on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now look at his response. Next verse. Look at his response. Next verse. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have air of the air, have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Ever thought, hey, it might be a little difficult to follow me because you might not get to stay in the Hyatt. You might have to stay in Motel 6. Can you say amen? That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, whoa. You're so used to your comfort zone. And when you follow me, I'm going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. But they are going to benefit you. Tom Landry, who was a great, great, great coach for the Dallas Cowboys, said, my goal is to teach these men, to get these men to do what they don't want to do so they can have what they want to have. Amen? Amen? Thank you. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord. Now, this is, I don't know if you catch this. He says, Lord, meaning I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Oh, but I'm not going to do that. And he said, Lord, let me first. Oh, here it is. Are you ready? Somebody say, let me first. Look at your neighbor and say, God will not tolerate second place. Let me first go bury my father. Let me first. No, God won't take your first. Even with your family. Oh, this is good. Even with your family. Stop putting your family above God. It doesn't minister to your family, and God won't tolerate it. Show your family your commitment to God, and then let them make a choice. Let the chips fall where they may. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. There was anointing on his life. And Jesus knew, you've got it mixed up. You've got to prioritize your preaching, the anointing on your life first, more than your family. People read this, get upset with God. I don't think God should, I don't think, oh my goodness, I don't think you should judge God. I think God's love is compassionate for everybody. When God told that rich young ruler, sell everything you have your own, that rich young ruler had a setup for goodness. We need to stop loving the world and the things of the world. We need to stop loving our families before God. We need to say, you know what? If God says this is a priority, that's a priority. And then he says what? Then to another said, Lord, I will follow you. Another said, see, words are cheap. You know, I love God. What? But let me first. God says, I want to be first. I will not tolerate second. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. Man, I was like, what? God's chip? All they wanted to say is bye. Listen, you have no idea. God is so much smarter than you. We judge God, figure out why we're going to do it the way God. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet he did not sin. Which, you know, that tells me, then another place, Jesus says that he did nothing but that he see it done first by his Father. You know what that means? That means first, Jesus had the plan of spit on the ground, make a mud pie, and put it in the guy's eye. See, we read scriptures and we know the end. Oh, then he went, washed it off, and then he saw, oh, yeah, we know the end. What if you don't know the end? God speaks to you, says, here's what I want. I don't want you to lay your hands on that person. I want you to spit on the ground. I want you to go over there, get some mud, and put it on his eye. And we're like, but that's not a good idea, God. I think I should be able to go first and at least say goodbye to my family. Do you see how we do this? And we justify all kinds of behavior where we put God second and we don't put him first. And God says, let me just teach you. What do you think this is in the Bible for? Remember what we learned last week? Difficult turns into life. Somebody say, difficult turns into life. Here's what the Bible says. You can't sow to the flesh and reap, joy and peace. If you reap to the spirit, you'll reap. So what did these people need to do? They need to say, aye, aye, captain. Aye, aye, sir. Absolutely. You know what? You know, A little later, when they develop text, I'll text them. But for now, I'm just going to do what God says. Are you learning something? Can I teach you one last story? We taught this before, and I'll end with this, but this is such a great story. It's in John. Is it in John? Yeah, it's in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. How many ready to praise God passionately today? Amen? Because we ain't going home yet. We're going to worship God today. Amen? Watch this. John chapter 21, very fast, very quick. After these things, God showed himself to the disciples. Jesus had already died on the cross. He had resurrected from the dead. After these things, showed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Here's how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathan and Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. So many of the apostles, not all of them, but were together. Next verse. And Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, are you going? We're going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught what? Nothing. Then Simon said, but when the morning had come now, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know it was Jesus. He said, how come they didn't know it was Jesus? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask Jesus. Okay. But here's what I know. They didn't know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? How many know when Jesus asks you something, it's not because he doesn't know, he's not trying to get information from you, right? What's he trying to do? This is a depth charge question. He's going to lead them somewhere. So he says this, Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered, what did they say? No. Why didn't they have any food? Because they've been fishing all night. Had caught what? You paying attention? Had caught what? Nothing. Say nada. Nothing. Watch this. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Is this sensical? This is craziness. So they cast and now they were not able to draw it in because of the what? Multitude of fish, and they're big fish too. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, that's John says to Peter, it is the Lord. For some reason, John recognized that's Jesus. And he says to Peter, that's Jesus. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, here's what I want you to catch. He put on his outer garment. Why? He took it off. He takes it off. You know, many times you're working, you're going to take your jacket off first. He's working, but he puts his garment back on, which is kind of ridiculous because it's going to get wet, but whatever. He puts his jacket back on. Watch this. For he had removed it. And what did he do? Plunged. What? Into the sea. Why did he do that? But your neighbor say, why did he do that? Come on, I want to soak in. Why did he do that? That's Jesus. Think about it. See, act like you don't know the end of the story. John says, hey, that's Jesus. He recognizes Jesus. He puts his jacket on and he jumps into the sea. Watch this next verse. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far off from the land, about 200 cubits. They're only about 100 yards, just a football field away. So the other guys are like, watch this, dragging the net with fish. Here's what I believe we see this so clearly in this portion. Peter, it's going to take too long to get to Jesus. So he's so passionate for Jesus that he can't wait to see him. I hope I've stirred up in you this passion for God. We had gone to Yosemite. We were away from the kids. Shayla was about 8. Tyler was about 5. Megan was about 3. They knew we were coming home. They knew what time we were coming home. We came home, and we opened the gate. As we opened the gate, all our 3 kids started running towards us. And from far away, I saw all the kids, but my eyes were on Tyler particularly, because Tyler was so excited. They were all excited, but Tyler, being a boy, wanted to get there first. He's just passionate, wanting to be with his parents. And sometimes as you're running, your projection of your torso can get in front of you, and it got in front of him, and he was trying to catch up, but he fell on his face. And I wanted to catch him, but I was too far away and I couldn't. That is how we need to be to God. That's how Peter is with God. It's going to take a little while for that boat to come in 100 feet. And he knows, I can get there faster if I jump in the sea. Somebody say, God doesn't want second place. God wants first place. Somebody say, God will not tolerate second place. He will only tolerate first place. How many heard from God today? I'm asking, how many is God speaking to you and saying, I need to be more here? That's very specific. How many of you is God speaking and say, I need to be more passionate for God than I've ever been in my life? How many, raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand if that's you. Can I pray with you? Father, help us that this sermon wouldn't just be a good sermon that we heard. Help us to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.